Letting the Bluebird Fly, November 2007. When I look back over the chain of events in life that got me from there to here, I know for certain there are no coincidences, only randomness. Case in point, one of my life-defining moments came with my first visit to Nashville's Bluebird Cafe. But the story, oddly enough, begins with a small ad agency and Po'Folk's restaurants. Random enough for you? In 1986, I had just moved to Nashville and was flailing my way through my first job out of college at an ad agency. Our biggest client was Po'Folk's, a down-home restaurant chain whose slogan was, "I'm Po', but I'm proud." Their spokesperson was Whisperin' Bill Anderson, and their patrons were individuals of great girth and gasping arteries. The bane of our existence was that every franchise had different pricing, so the creative department had to construct the menus with a different version for each location. So my friend Susan Brown, a designer and recent college grad, and I were left to attend the production and proofing of these while seriously questioning our career choice. During these crunch times, the agency would bring in freelance help, and one of the designers was a man named Pat Alger. He and Susan would share an office, sit behind a paste-up board, and crank away at these menus. On one of these benders, Pat mentioned that he'd been doing some freelance record cover designs, most recently for a singer named Nancy Griffith. Then he went on to spill that he'd actually written some songs she'd recorded, Goin' Gone, Once in a Very Blue Moon, and that he was playing at the Bluebird Cafe that weekend. We had no idea Pat had a life outside of Spray Mountain X-Acto knives, and we wanted to support him in any way we could. So we got directions and headed to the little hole in the wall for a big night out. For those who have never been, the Bluebird sits inconspicuously at the end of a little strip mall in the middle of Green Hills, an upscale suburb of Nashville known for its mall and abundance of junior leaguers. One of the trademarks of the Bluebird is the in-the-round shows where performers sit in a circle in the middle of the room while the 100 or so patrons, packed in and cozy on uncomfortable wooden chairs, are offered a voyeuristic experience as the songwriters take turns sharing songs and telling stories. Oh, and if you talk during the performance, you get shushed by the waitstaff. Shh is the other trademark. On this first Bluebird experience of mine, Pat was joined by a curly-headed guy in red high-top Converse sneakers named Don Henry, who would wear those same sneakers on national television to accept his Grammy a few years later for co-writing Kathy Mattea's Where Have You Been. Janice Ian, who had recently moved to Nashville so she could start over after the IRS seized her belongings, and Ashley Cleveland, who had just released Big Town on Atlantic and was the hottest thing around with her mighty voice and new custom-made Gibson guitar. By the end of that night, the direction of my life had changed. I became a regular at the Bird, calling at noon every Monday trying to get my name down for a table so I could catch artists like Jill Sobule, Kennedy Rose, Michael Johnson, Bob DePiro, Jonelle Mosser, Gary Nicholson, and hundreds of others. One of the most memorable nights of the Bluebird came 9 years after my first visit. It was a Performing Songwriter Presents show that I organized, and Julie Gold flew in from New York to perform with Hugh Prestwood, Gary Burr, and Mike Reed. And, as if the night weren't incredible enough, Bonnie Raitt and her then-husband Michael O'Keefe walked in with songwriter Beth Nielsen Chapman and sat at the table next to me. I was all but undone. At one point in the evening, Julie dedicated From a Distance to Nancy Griffith, telling us how Nancy had changed her life by recording that song. Hugh followed suit and dedicated the song Remembers When to Trisha Yearwood. Gary dedicated To Be Loved by You to Wynonna. Then Mike Reed said that the person who changed his life by recording his song happened to be in the room, and Bonnie Raitt graciously sang I Can't Make You Love Me while he accompanied her on the piano. I vividly remember how the air felt in the room, how quiet everyone was as they leaned in to soak up what was happening, and the look on Bonnie's face when she finished singing, like she had experienced the magic right along with us. That's what a great song can do. And these are the unscripted moments that anyone who visits the Bluebird is treated to. The person who started the Bluebird is an extraordinary woman named Amy Curlin. I've written about her many times over the years, describing the role she's played in my life and in the beginnings of this magazine. Suffice it to say that Performing Songwriter would not exist without her or my first experience at that place she founded and has nurtured for the past 25 years. Last week, Amy announced that she is selling the Bluebird and leaving it in the capable hands of the Nashville Songwriters Association International, NSAI. Amy wanted to make sure the heart of the Bluebird lived on and that it remained true to itself. It was always about the songwriter, and with NSAI, she made sure it will always stay about the songwriter. On the morning of her announcement, which had leaked a few days earlier, Amy called to say that Katie Couric was in town and on her way over to the Bluebird to interview her for the CBS Evening News. This fact had us both a little freaked out, I must say, and the next 10 minutes were spent trying to figure out what one wears to be on national news with Katie Couric. And since neither of us are what you'd call fashion mavens, we agreed it should be something that fit, didn't need safety pins, and didn't involve stripes of any kind. When I got off the phone, all I could think about was the fact that this thing Amy had created was so much bigger than herself or Nashville. She had accomplished something that had taken on a life of its own, and somehow she had known it was time to let it fly. I think that's called grace, and grace is exactly what Amy wrapped herself in throughout this process of letting go. I know we all have a dream to leave our mark or make some kind of difference while we're on this planet. Well, Amy Curlin has done that and more. I'm one of the least of those whose life has been touched by her in the Bluebird Cafe. Over the past 15 years, Amy has been a constant presence, fierce supporter, and unselfish mentor for me. But most importantly, she's been the dearest of friends. So here's to Amy and 25 years of carrying the torch for songwriters. And here's to the Bluebird. May it continue to fly high and share its magic for many years to come. You are both loved and have made an enormous difference in this world.